And desire your prayers this morning. You know, the world around us today has an idea of what salvation is. I think it's very good for us to have meetings like this, to where we come together and we ask the Lord to help us to clearly see what is His plan of salvation. Because, you know, the world today says, I have very little part to do with it. In fact, all I need to do, you will hear this sometimes, 5 minutes is all you need. You make a decision for Christ. And you really don't make a whole lot of change in your life. That 5 minute decision, from then the rest of your life, it will cover all of the sins that you commit. God does it all. So, you know, I think sometimes it's good for us to come together and say, Lord, where is the balance? Because you know what? The balance is not that it's all in me either. The Pharisees had no need of Jesus because they were able to do it on their own. They had some rules, a list of rules that if I do all these, I'm living right. It's my part. Hardly had any need for Jesus. So I'd like for us to think about something this morning. I'm glad that the Lord will come down in simple ways to talk to us. He did that in the scripture. So many times we see Jesus would come to the people with a parable. The sower and the seed was something that everybody could understand. He told them that, and then he was able to get a spiritual application from it. I'm glad the Lord can help us. He can help each of you in your daily activities of life. That something is happening around the home, and the Lord can take that little incident and turn it into a spiritual application for your life. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that we don't have to wait till Sunday morning to get any visitation from the Lord. Instead, just it does not matter what you're doing. The Lord can take that incident and turn it into a spiritual blessing. So I'd like to share something with you. Salvation is a two-part epoxy. You ever used it before? A long time ago, they used to send it in two different containers. And you can still buy it that way. But if you want to get it to where it's really, it will really produce the way the package says, you ought to buy the one where you press it and it gives you the metered amounts. It will give you how much of each part is needed. The old kind, it was left up to you. You just squeeze it out of the tube and then squeeze the other and how much you think ought to be right and see if it works. But I've used this recently and it gave me a spiritual application. When it's mixed according to the directions, it'll have the guarantee that the package carries with it. It will work. Now that's a two-part. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Then why isn't everybody saved? Because it's a two-part epoxy. You know what? You can squeeze every bit out of one side of that tube and it won't do a bit of good if you don't mix the other one with it. Now, a few years ago, and I guess you can still do it, they used to have the super glue. It was a one part. One drop supposed to hold a ton. You remember those advertisements? I never tried it. But they said, this really works. Now, I want to tell you, if we looked at it in a spiritual application, there's only one place that there's only a one part epoxy. And that is with the angels. You know what? God is able to, with the angels, give them bidding. And we read it so many times in the scripture where an angel would come to Mary and say, I'm sent with this message. They're not doing their own bidding. They're doing what God has sent them to do. And you know what? That clears it for me to ever believe that the devil was in heaven. Because you know, it's a one part back there. It was God said to the angel, go do this. And the angel, we never read in the Bible where the angel said, wait a minute, let me tell you what I think about it. No, the angel went and did the bidding. But then God said in the first chapter of Genesis, let us make man. And he gave man a will. So now it's a two-part. I have a part to play. It's true, just like in the regular epoxy that you get, when you start squeezing it out, you will see one side will be maybe a very small amount, and the other side will be the biggest portion. But you know what? It's the right mix for how they put it together. I'll tell you, in the whole scheme of things, my part is very, very small compared to what God does for us. But I want to tell you how vital it is of my part. The two have to go together. And I'd like for us together to just look at some scripture this morning that will remind us, you know what, this is a two-part plan here. God doesn't do it all on his own. And here's a couple of verses. Starting out in Isaiah 55. There's a part that God will play, and there's a part that we have to play. In 55 and 6, here's my part. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Just think of this epoxy here. I'm starting to squeeze the tube here. Here's my part. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. That's my portion right there. And now the Lord's part kicks in with the mix. And to our God, he will have mercy upon him. After I've done my part, God will have mercy upon him. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the part that God will do. There is another one. And to me, some of these are just individual to God. There are others that apply as a nation to God or as an individual to God. The one that I think of is 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, here's my part, I'm starting to squeeze the tube, but I've got to do my part first for the other to apply. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face. You know what? That's more than a 5-minute decision. And then God is to do all the rest. This is one after another. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And then here the other kicks in. Then will I hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. You know what? We're in desperate need of that today. It's almost like God doesn't have power. He's not doing things. No, it's because you can squeeze one part of the epoxy out on the table and it will stay just like that. It will not have the strength because it takes two parts to do it. I have a part to play. There is some other verses. Revelations 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It looks like on that one, God's starting to put it out first. He does that. He deals with us. 3 and 20 of Revelations. I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, I'm starting to move it over into my category now. I've got something I've got to do. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. I'll sup with him and he with me. And you know, a lot of times I can think this verse applies only on the day that I get saved. No. You know what? This verse applies every day of my life. There are times when the Lord will come to me and knock. I got something I need to talk to you about. I've got something that you need to change in your life. And you know what? I've got to do the same thing on that day as I did on the day I got saved. For the epoxy to work like it should, I've got a part to play. My part is so little compared to his. It is just releasing my will and giving it to him. And then it works. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. I'll sup with him and he with me. A guarantee in the finishing out of 2017, when it seemed like there's wickedness all around us, I still got the call. This product still works just like it always has. But I'm going to have to put my part into it first. I'm going to have to open the door. I'm going to have to hear the voice. You know what? We can get so busy that I don't hear the voice. You know, there was a time when there was thunderings and lightnings. There was different things happening, an earthquake. And then there was a still, small voice. And you know what? When there's a lot of commotion going on, I hear a lot of things, but I didn't hear the still, small voice. If I will hear his voice and open the door, guaranteed he'll come in and sup with me and me with him. There's another one in Revelations. And I look at these, and sometimes when I read them, I think, okay, that has already happened. That was on Salvation Day, but I think it applies throughout my life. Revelations 22 and 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. That's only on one day of salvation, and that's it? No. Every day, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth, see each part, has a part to play in it. I have a part. He has a part. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I put in my little part, and God does the rest. And you know what? The devil would like to push us to either side of it. He would like to push us over in the area that it's your part to play. You have all these rules to live by, and you will have done it. Or, on the other side of the fence of things that are happening today out in the world, you really hardly have a part to play in it. Jesus, we're coming into Christmas season. Jesus born here, we're going to recognize it in a few days. That birth came and that death came, and it covers all the sins I will ever commit if I make a decision for him. I've been surprised at what Christian people, supposed Christian people, are settling for today. Is that this is what salvation is. I've had read some articles recently because I thought, no, surely there's some place where you will have reached the limit of what you can sin and still be a Christian. And I say, no, there is no limit. Once you have accepted Christ and you believe on Christ, you know, when we look in the scriptures, you must believe.
That's right.
You know what? That is the first thing. He that cometh to God without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You know what? That's my part. The very beginning on the road to salvation is, I got to believe. He that cometh to me must believe. He that cometh must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's my part. But you know what? Believing, you look through scriptures, and if you take that by itself, this is a one-part epoxy. It's all up to me. I believe, and now he takes care of the rest. You know what? Believing is just the beginning of it. And I thought about an example this way. To a newborn baby that is just born, there is one thing that is important to the one delivering that child. I want to hear a cry. I want to have that baby draw in some air and get those lungs starting to work. Whatever it takes. That may have been some of our first spankings we ever got, was when they were born, and they're, if they have to spat them a little bit to get them to cry and start drawing in air. You know what? That's just like believing for this plan of salvation. Believing has got to be there. It's number one. To a newborn baby, breathing is number one. But you know what? That's not all there is to it. If you say, okay, I got this baby breathing, I'm going to put it over here in the room and everything's fine. No, soon after breathing, there's another thing that comes up pretty important. The baby's going to have to be fed. That's the same way with us for the plan of salvation. Folks, without believing, without faith, it's impossible. And you know, for me to be able to show it to the world, I'm going to have to get it settled down in my own heart how it is. Believing is important. When someone says that believing is very important, I can agree with them. It sure is. I cannot be saved without it. But you know what? Believing moves into another area now. Just like with a baby. The next thing I've got to do is feed it. You know what? The next thing I've got to do after obeying is, you know, Jesus came to us and said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There will be things that will follow my part and his part. You remember with Joshua? He's talking to the people in Joshua, the 24th chapter. Because, you know, we would like to be able to get the whole world to be saved. And yet this is a two-part epoxy. Each individual will have to be able to decide for themselves. And Joshua realized that. And so he's talking to them in the 24th chapter and the 15th verse. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But I like this part. Here's my part in the epoxy, because it fits in the hold. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm putting my part into it, and now God will take care of the rest. There was another one in Deuteronomy. I'd like to look at it. Got to make a choice. That's my part. In Deuteronomy, in the 30th chapter, and in the 15th verse, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. I got a choice to make. It's my part. And it goes on down in the 19th verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. You know what? Jesus said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. There is enough power for every person that has ever been born to be saved today. But then this comes along, because it's a two-part. God desired it to be a two-part. He desired it from the very beginning when he created man. Is it that he could not see choices are going to bring risk to me? The desire that I have for a relationship, a choice, is going to be a risk. But you know what? If there's no choice involved, there's no way to show that you love somebody. So it was worth it so much to God to be able to have that love responded back, that he made us with a will, our part to be able to do. And it started with at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. All of the Garden of Eden I've got here before you. When you look at those, it says there were trees that had no fruit on them. It was a tree that was just pleasant to the eyes. I'm not talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just trees to appreciate this, that God made it. He didn't just say, I tell you what, this one tree right here will produce the fruit, food you eat. It's just going to be a cube. You just eat it and you'll live. It looks terrible. It's gray. No, he didn't do it. You look at, I tell you, if Brother Leslie were up here today, he could start describing the fruit. Well, none of us will ever be able to describe it like he did. But you know what? What it told us was God's love for us. The colors that he puts into it. All the things that he did was him doing his part, trying to push on that epoxy for our lives. And all I had to do, all Adam and Eve had to do, was a very small portion. But you know what? Their part had to be put in there with it. Yeah. It was, Lord, I understand of this one tree. Don't touch it, lest you die. You know what? For a great relationship, that's all they had to do. A very small portion to be able to have the God of heaven come down and visit you in the cool of the day and supply you with all the things that he had for them. You know what? It's really the same for us today. God desires to have a relationship. All that he is willing to give us in this day and time with wickedness around us And all I have to do is give him my all. You know, I read the scripture where it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. You know, sometimes we take that as a command. That's like over in the Ten Commandments. It's something I've got to do. Folks, you know what? The Lord would like for us to see those things as, it's not a command, it's my desire. Because this produces something just like that epoxy will produce. When I do my little part, God is able to do his part. And here are some of the things that is in my part. We hear these sometimes, and the old time ministers used to preach them to us. Love not the world. You know, that's old stuff. But it still is what makes the epoxy work. It's my part. Is it what saves me? No. No. No more than pushing my part out of that two-part epoxy will make it work. No. It's got to blend with the other. But there's scriptures that tell us what makes it to blend, and I'm pushing the right amount out of my side. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know, folks, that's for each one of us to measure how much I love the Lord and be able to understand what does that mean in 2017. Love not the world. You know, I can go overboard and say, well, okay, I don't love the world. I won't have a car. I won't have a job. I won't have any of those things. And you know what? That's not balanced either. Because the Lord tells the man to get out and provide for his household. It's part of the epoxy. You do your part and I'll take care of my part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to it. Folks, loving not the world doesn't mean that I don't mix shoulders with them. I have to go out there every day and work with them. But you know what? The Lord knows where my love is. He's able to look down inside my heart. You know, I can learn what the right words are to say when I'm in meeting. But you know, the Lord looks down into my heart, and he knows where my desires are, where they would go if no one could see me every day. And he measures those things. And I'm desiring that I will have the full effect of what he has for me. And sometimes I'm not putting out my heart. Because if we have the love of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's still true today. And so I want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want this thing to work. I'm desperate for it to work. Because I look at a religious world around me where it is not working. And I want it to work in my life. There are many people that have a hope of heaven. Those that made a 5-minute decision have a hope of heaven. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, this starts telling me about that hope that I have for heaven. Beloved, 2nd verse, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we should be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, because we'll see him as he is. God has a plan that every one of us can make heaven our home. But then he comes along and puts another verse right behind it that tells me you won't make it without you doing your part. And it says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Can we do it without God's help? No, it's just my part that I'm putting into it. Lord, here's my desire. And I look on down in these verses, fifth verse. Ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. In him is no sin. You know, I get to measure whether this epoxy of salvation is working in my life. Does it have strength or does it not have strength? Have I just pressed out my part and God is not putting his part into it? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. So I look at this one and I can measure myself. Am I sinning? I can't abide in him and sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. It's part of my part. to plan. Another verse, Hebrews in the 12th chapter. First verse. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, here's my part. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we do not have to do this on our own. We just couple up with Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. With all the power that I need to be able to be successful. There is another verse in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. In the 3rd chapter of, because I get to do a little bit of measuring here. If you then be risen with Christ, first verse, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. We can start finding all through the scriptures, my portion is so small, and yet I do have a portion to play. The 5th verse, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And it starts going through a list of things that I need to make sure that those things are not a part of my life. And it goes on down in the 8th verse. This is still my part. But now ye also put off all these. And there's another list. Lie not one to another. And then in the 10th verse, there's something else that I have done. There's been some things that I've had to put off. And then there's some things that I put on. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's got a guarantee to it. When I'm doing my part with that hungering and thirsting, it's putting out just the right portion for him to put some with it, and I'll be filled. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Folks, that goes back to that, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because I'm not able to hunger and thirst after righteousness enough to make the product work when I'm mixing it. You cannot, you know, today it's still the same. You cannot serve two masters. I can try. It doesn't say you can't try. It doesn't say nobody will do it. It says it won't work. The product will not perform like the package says it will if I try it any other way. But what I'd like to look at is, along with these things that are my part, they are so small amount when you squeeze it out on the table that I have to do compared to the amount that God puts into it once I have done my part. When you think about the word grace, I used to hear that word and think about the definition. It's unmerited favor of God. And that's true. You know, really, I don't deserve anything from God. I don't deserve the air I breathe if I look at it that way. But there is also another definition. It is divine influence in my life. Me allowing it, now my part's done, the vessel is ready, and now there's divine influence that comes in to give me the power to be able to do those things. Divine power available from God. I'd like to look at Ephesians in the 2nd chapter. Because, you know, if we're not careful, I have been raised here. I know the list of what you do and what you don't do. You know what? I need grace from God. Otherwise, I will have just squeezed out my little portion, and I'm trying to live to that. And I need more than that. In the 2nd chapter, I need to always remember this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. There is no amount that I squeeze out of this tube that's going to make the product work on its own. It's by grace, that divine influence in my life, that I'll be saved. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift. Folks, we're thinking about gifts this time of the year. Grace is a gift from God. That divine power is a gift. But you know what? That gift will not work in my life if I don't give it the room to be able to work. If I don't do my part to prepare for it to be able to do its part. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. No amount of things that I do on my own will be good enough to give me salvation. But I look at so many verses in Titus, the second chapter, the 11th verse. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, there's my part, and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. It worked back in 1900, no, and godly in this present world. Today, this product still works. You would be able to think of verses, but I'd like to look at a songwriter, put his thoughts on it. It is song number 45. I'd like for us to sing this song together. The grace of God that brings salvation and teaches righteousness appeareth unto every nation, their darkened souls to bless. Wondrous grace, your gift from heaven, grace to set the captive free, grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me. His wondrous grace is all sufficient, and ours of deepest need are sanctified by God omniscient. If we His promise plead, wondrous grace, your gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free, grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me. Within the heart His grace abounding will give us power to reign. Through Jesus, when the foe surrounding, the victory we shall gain. Wondrous grace, your gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free, grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me. Our Father, grace and glory giveth in blessings manifold from Him who pure before Him liveth. No good will He withhold. Wondrous grace, your gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free, grace of
so kindly given by the Savior unto me.
That fourth verse gives us a picture of the two parts. Our Father, grace and glory giveth, and blessings manifold. But then here comes our part. From him who pure before him liveth, no good will he withhold. For me to have as a desire in my heart, Lord, I give you my all. I have turned away from those things in my life that I know will not please you. And now I open myself up for you to bring in the power. There is another verse in James, the fourth chapter. James 4 and 6. He giveth more grace. You know, at the day that I get saved, he doesn't give me a measure of it, and that's all I need. It'll take care of me from here on out. Nor did he give the children of Israel manna one day, and it will always be there from here on out. It's interesting to see his plan with them, because you know what? Really, it's the same plan that he has for us today. He told them right at the beginning, you know what? They were desiring food. And you know what you do when you're hungry? Boy, when food comes, you act as if you're not going to get any tomorrow. You just eat and eat and eat. So he gives them some instruction about that. He said, only take what you need for today, and here is what you'll need for today. Do not try to take enough for tomorrow, because it's going to spoil. And you know, some of those people, they still went out because they were probably remembering, you know what, yesterday I didn't have it. God's brought it today. I tell you what, I am going to store it up. And it went bad overnight. So God had some specific instructions. You know what? He didn't leave any of us to wonder what he meant. It's really pretty clear what he would have us to do for our part. It was really pretty clear for them what to do on their part. He told them, no, what I want you to do is get enough for each day. And then he said, now there's one exception. On the sixth day, now I want you to do it different. I want you to do the very thing that didn't work on Monday, on the first day, or one of these other days that didn't work. Now I want you to get enough for 2 days, because there will be none come on the Sabbath day. And you know, then people get to, you know, here's where I had to be real careful. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. He did it with them. If they would have just said, I don't have to figure it out. He told me 5 days ago, only get enough for each day. And now he's telling me, but today you better get enough for 2 days, because it won't be there tomorrow. You know what? If I would just be able to understand the Lord's voice, I don't have to understand. I don't have to know why. I just understand that he said it. And so I do it. Because here, some of them decided, you know what? No, it'll be here tomorrow too. And it wasn't there tomorrow. Grace is the same way. I won't be able to get enough on the first of the month, that no matter what comes my way, I've got plenty of it in stock. You know what? I'm going to need to go back for more grace. He giveth more grace. In this fourth chapter, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. He will give us everything we need when we need it. I only have one thing that I need to make sure of. I've done my part. The things that the Lord has dealt with me about in my life, that I have worked on those, that I have a desire. You know, where it talks about be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That's my part. For me to be able to have this other to work, it's going to take more than me. I just heard it, and maybe even like the man that looked in the glass and went away and forgot. That won't be enough for this to work like it was intended to work. It's going to take me understanding what the Lord wants me to do And I'd go out and I'd get started on it. And then if I have trouble, as I will, when I start on it, I need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your grace right along with it. Because he promised he'll give more grace. There are times when we can read in the scripture and it looks like this epoxy ought to work this way. Because there are verses that tell us, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will and it'll be done. Now, I love that epoxy right there because I got a lot of things I want done. And so I say, okay, I'm abiding in him. I'm drawing real close to him. And now I've got this problem in my life. And I know how it needs to be done. Folks, right in here, my part is learning how to trust the Lord. My part for this thing to work like it should will be to do like Jesus said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Father, looking at this, I just wish there was another way. Is there some other way? Because I can see. You know, Jesus is able to see out in the future. We can't see a minute out ahead. We can think how something will go. He knew how it was going to go. And the flesh part of him said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he ended it with, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I want to tell you, for this plan of salvation, the epoxy to work like it should, it will be for me to be able on my part to come to him with trust. Lord, I know that you know what is best for my life. I have been asking this myself. Lord, I want you to send into my life anything, whatever it is, that will give me the best opportunity possible to make heaven my home. Will that be all good things? Will that be all successes in my life and no one is coming against me? You know what? For me to make heaven my home, I'm going to have to see who I am. And you know, on a sunshiny day when everything is going my way, life is good. But you know what? It takes adversity. It takes someone coming against me for me to see how I react and make some adjustments in who I am. And for me to be able to understand, this is part of it. Grace is not just, it'll solve all my problems. I will have no more trouble in my life. I'll tell you what grace will do. In the 2 Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, God had some grace for this problem. Paul had some trouble in his life. And he sought the Lord three times. This is in the 8th verse. I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he got an answer back from the God, from Christ, that said, ask what you will. You got any mountains that need to be removed, you just speak to this mountain and it'll be gone. And we start understanding how that goes. And then Jesus, these are red letters here, comes back to Paul with an answer. 9th verse. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And you know what? At that time, Paul has a decision that he's got to make. Job had a decision he had to make when adversity came into his life. The devil thought he understood what Job was going to do. You do this, and he will curse you to your face. But Job had some integrity about him, his part that he played. And the devil thought he understood about mankind when sickness comes. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, will he give for his life. And God allowed Satan to touch Job's body. And you know, when Job's wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Job said, you're speaking like a foolish woman. Don't we accept the good things that God puts in our life? And shouldn't we also accept these others? And it said, Job still did not sin with his lips. when Jesus sent back this word to Paul, Paul had a decision to make. You know what? He could have said, this epoxy does not work. I thought when you put these two parts together, it has the strength in it to give me whatever I want. But instead, Paul climbed up on top of it. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Look at this. I mean, he went on farther than just say, I tell you what, I'll endure it, then I'm going to put up with it. He said, I take pleasure. Now, I'm not saying I'm there. He says, I take pleasure. I'm just reading to you what's in the book here. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. You ever look at the list of things that happened to Paul? How many times he was beaten? 39 stripes, save one. Could I even do one? Stoned, shipwrecked. So many things in his life that could have turned him around. But you know what his part was? None of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself. Folks, I want to tell you, the things that happen in our life, I've got a part to play. Part of my part is yielding myself to the Lord. When I have done everything I know to do to please the Lord with my life, make sure that everything is clear between me and Him, and the answer has still not come the way I would like for it to do, I yield myself to Him. Yes. That I start, I believe it would be good for us all to back off a little bit and get life in perspective. Yes. There are hospitals today that have one goal: give you another day here, whatever it takes. It does not matter about quality of life. There are people on life support, been on life support for years and have no quality. But to keep them here, if I turn off the machine, they're gone. You know, folks, we can get so tied to here. And I forget the picture. The big picture is, if I live here 80 years and have everything go my way. I don't know how old the rich man was. But you know, he needed some things to come into his life to remind him eternity's out ahead. There's more things that are important than purple and fine linens and faring sumptuously every day. And you know what? I need to remember that today. If I live 80 years and have success in my life, it's only a speck compared to eternity. I am on my way to eternity. And if I will remember that every day, and then when things happen in my life and people treat me wrong, look at how many things happened to Joseph in his life. It seemed like one right after another. But somehow Joseph maintained his integrity with God. To where when he came to power, he did not read a list of the people that I'm going to even up a score with them when I can. He had no score to even up. In fact, the biggest wrong that was done to him, he had an opportunity to even that score. But instead, what he did was he said to his brothers, it wasn't you that put me here. Folks, that's how he was able to have victory in his life for those 13 years. It wasn't you that put me here. It was God that put me here. I want to tell you, the troubles that we have come into our life, if I can say God allowed it. When Job lost all of his possessions in the first chapter of Job, it's gone in one day's time. One of the wealthiest men of the East. But you know what? Somehow he held it in the right balance. To where when it was gone, he didn't say, okay, you said the Chaldeans took these. Here, I'm going to write that down. One of these days, I'll catch those Chaldeans. You know what he said at the end of it all? the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. You know what? If we want to have victory in our life, you won't miss victory that way. Because the Lord is given everything. The troubles that come into my life, the people that hurt me in my life, if I take that thing and say, you know what? I ask God to help me to make heaven my home. And this must be part of that plan. Lord, what do you have for me out of this? I do not attach a person's name to the things that are happening in my life. There is grace sufficient for every one of us in 2017. And I want to apply for that grace more in my life. Because if I'm not careful, because I have been raised right here, I know the things to do. But you know what? It's going to take more than doing things. It's going to take a relationship, because doing things by itself is me squeezing that tube. I've had times before when one side of that was stopped up. And I squeeze, and now I got a big old pile of one part and nothing out of the other. It won't do me a bit of good. Folks, I can squeeze out all the effort in my life to do good things. But if I have not gone through it this way, my part and God's part, it will not have the strength to take me through. I desire your prayers. I'd like for us to close with the song, I think maybe in our blue book, Amazing Grace. You know, folks, that's really what it is. To be able to take us and make a change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I want to tell you, for that to be able to happen, it took amazing grace. I desire your prayers.